We are in a verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, and we come today to Acts chapters 6 and 7 and to the story of Stephen. Now, I hope you'll remember that Stephen was one of the seven godly men. The Bible calls them men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that the early church chose in the early part of chapter 6 to help the apostles with the ministry of that early church. But here in Acts chapter 7, we find that this same Stephen preaches the longest sermon recorded anywhere in the New Testament, and he becomes in this same chapter the first Christian martyr in the New Testament. So, the title of my message today is Stephen's Sermon and Rebellion Against God. So are we ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and miracles among the people, the Jewish people in Jerusalem. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria, and some from Cilicia and the Roman province of Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen, that is, about Jesus. Now, let me show you a map so you know where all these places are. Cyrene is in North Africa, Alexandria in Egypt, Cilicia was a province in the southern part of modern-day Turkey, where Tarsus is located, the Apostle Paul's home city, and the Romans province of Asia is the western half of what we think of as Turkey today. So you understand where these guys were from, right? Okay. But they, these folks, were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spoke, so they secretly bribed men to say, "We heard him, Stephen, speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, and they dragged him, Stephen, away and brought him before the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin, the same group that the Lord Jesus had stood before not very many months before this. And they put false witnesses against him. And they said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place, the temple, and the law of Moses. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place, the Jerusalem temple, and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. And then the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And now we get ready to start with Stephen's sermon. You say, "What? You mean we're not even at the sermon yet?" No, we're just getting to the sermon. All right. And the sermon, the thing that's really interesting about this sermon, my friends, is that Stephen does not use this sermon to defend himself against all of these charges that are being brought against him. He actually uses this sermon to spiritually indict these religious leaders of Israel for their refusal to believe in Jesus. And I want to give you the outline of his sermon, and then we'll go and actually look at it unfold. So here's the outline. You ready? 4 points. Point number one, Stephen says, God sent Moses to save you Jews from Egypt when you were slaves there. Point number two, in your stiff-necked arrogance, you rejected Moses. Point number three, in his mercy, God raised Moses back up at the burning bush and sent him back to you. Point number four, And even then, you rebelled against God and rejected Moses again. And all four of these points, Stephen goes on to end the sermon by saying, is exactly what you're doing with Jesus, the Messiah. This is the sermon. Got it? All right. Now let's watch it unfold. Here we go. Point number one, which was God sent Moses to save you from Egypt. Stephen says, now when Moses was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the Israelites, who were slaves in Egypt. And when he saw one of them being unjustly beaten, he, Moses, defended him and struck down the Egyptian. Y'all know this. You saw the movie, right? Yeah, okay, you know all this. And he, Moses, supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Point number one, God sent Moses to save the Israelites. Now, point number two is that they rejected Moses. And the following day, he, Moses, appeared to them as they were fighting together, a couple of Israelites, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, why do you injure one another? But the one Israelite who was injuring his neighbor pushed Moses away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Moses, who died and made you king? Huh? Point number two, the Israelites rejected Moses. All right? Point number three is that God raised Moses back up again and sent him back to the Israelites. Stephen goes on to say, Moses fled into the wilderness for 40 years, and then God appeared to him at the burning bush, and God sent him back to rescue the Israelites. Look, here we go, verse 35, this Moses, whom they, the Israelites, disowned, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Watch. Is the very one whom God sent back to be their ruler and deliverer. Point four, even in spite of all of this, they rejected Moses a second time. It says, verse 36, he, Moses, led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, the 10 plagues, at the Red Sea, splitting it in half for 40 years in the desert, water from a rock, etc. But in spite of this, verse 39, our fathers refused to obey Moses. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. This is the outline. Everybody got it? Okay. And now, he turns this very outline on them sitting in the council with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Verse 51, Stephen says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. Always you resist the Holy Spirit. The prophets predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, whom you have betrayed and murdered. You rejected him like the Israelites rejected Moses. And then what did God do? God raised him from the dead and sent him back to you a second time, offering a second time him to you. And now here you are with me standing in front of you on trial, and you're rejecting him again, just like your forefathers did. Got the point? All right, well, even if you don't, the rabbis got the point. Because the next verse says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and began gnashing their teeth at him. And then, of course, the rest of the chapter tells us they took him outside the council chamber and they killed him for his faith. We'll get to that next week. All right, so this is as far as we want to go in the passage today, because now we want to stop and ask our most important question. So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Everybody know what it is?
Yeah.
All right, come on now. One, two, three. I love you guys. You say, yeah, Lon, so what? Say, you know, it's a great passage, and I appreciate this, but blah-de-blah-de-blah-blah-blah. What difference does any of this make to me? Well, let's see if we can answer that, because there is a big answer to that. Friends, what exactly is the passage that we just studied all about? Well, the answer is, it's all about rebellion against God. Listen, the Jewish people rebelled against Moses, whom God sent to save them from Egypt. And now, here in Acts chapter 6, Stephen says that you Jewish people are rebelling against God in the same way by rejecting Jesus, whom God sent to save you from your sins. So can we talk about rebellion for a moment? Yeah. Folks, you know, the Bible says that there's a big difference between foolishness and rebellion. Foolishness means doing something stupid or disobeying God in some way out of ignorance. And the Bible says that God is incredibly patient with fools, that God is incredibly merciful and long-suffering with fools, which is why I'm still here. Ha! Yes, exactly. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown what? Say it.
Mercy.
Why? Because I acted, say it, ignorantly in unbelief. Now listen, ignorance and foolishness. Don't give anyone a completely free pass from God's holiness and from God's judgment. You go into eternity foolish enough not to have accepted Christ, God in his justice will end up sending you to hell. I promise you that. And some of the foolish and stupid things we do here on earth, even though they're in ignorance, sometimes we do pay a price for them, all right? But foolishness and ignorance do give us God's patience and God's long-suffering here on earth. However, rebellion against God is different, friends. Rebellion against God means disobeying God when it's not based on ignorance, when it's based on knowing God's will, knowing God's commands, knowing God's wishes, knowing God's standards and desires. How do we know it? We know it from where? The B-I-B-L-E, that's right, the Bible. And then choosing to ignore these things, choosing to defy them and do what we feel like doing. That is rebellion against God. And the Bible says that in contrast to foolishness, God has very little patience with rebellion, especially when it's his people doing it, people who ought to know better. I give you 1 Samuel chapter 15. King Saul, God told him what to go do. He didn't do it. He went and did something else. He rebelled against God, and when he comes back, he meets Samuel. And Samuel, the prophet, says to King Saul, he says, for, what's the next word? Say it. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, divination, and stubbornness is like the evil of idolatry. Watch, because you, King Saul, have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, there's not a whole lot of mercy right here that I see, do you? There's not a lot of long suffering that I see here, do you? There's not a lot of patience that I see here, do you? No, because this wasn't foolishness. This was rebellion. And you know, the Jewish people that Stephen was talking to in Acts chapter 6, God didn't show them a whole lot of long-suffering and patience either. Listen, Jesus said, Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you by God. How often," Jesus says, "I have longed to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Look at these words now. "But you would not." That's the language of what? Rebellion. Yes, you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't do it. So as a result, Jesus said, "Behold, your house is being left to you desolate." And that's exactly what happened 38 years later. The Roman army came under General Vespasian and General Titus, his son. They surrounded Jerusalem. They besieged Jerusalem. They tore down the walls of Jerusalem. They tore down the buildings of Jerusalem. They burned the temple in Jerusalem. And they reduced the city to a pile of smoldering rubble. And according to Josephus, the great Jewish historian, they killed over 1 million Jews living in Jerusalem and took 90,000 more as slaves to be sent across the Roman Empire and never heard from again. And then they walked away and left Jerusalem just a pile of bricks. Hey, isn't this exactly what Jesus told them was going to happen? And why? Why? Is it because he didn't love them? No. He said, "I wanted to gather you together like a hen does her chicks." No, I love you. But the problem is not that I don't love you. The problem is what? Say the word. Rebellion. You say, "Well, Lon, could you give me one sentence maybe that would summarize the whole point of the message today I could take with me?" I'd love to. Here it is. Here's your sentence. God's patience with rebellion and his mercy towards those who do it is frighteningly limited, so don't do it. That's the message. So let me say as I conclude today that in an audience like this, the size of this, I'm certain there are people in here today who are in rebellion against God. Some of us here are people who are not believers in Jesus, but we've heard the gospel. We know what God says, that the only way to get into heaven is by trusting what Jesus did on the cross for us, shedding his blood to pay for our sin. And yet we're determined we're not doing that. We're determined we're going to get into heaven our own way. Folks, that's rebellion against God. And yet there are also believers here today who know Christ but are in rebellion against God. You say, how? Well, we can be in rebellion against God in our sexual behavior, what we watch, what our computer brings in the house, the way we look at people of the opposite sex, what we think about, living with our boyfriend, living with our girlfriend, living with our fiance. You say, "Lon, you're getting really personal now." You know what, folks? The great evangelist Charles Finney used to say, "You cannot preach against sin in the abstract." Sorry. You got to get specific. Praise the Lord. And there are some of us here today who are in rebellion against God because of our refusal to forgive someone who's hurt us, even though we know the Bible tells us to do it. And there are some of us believers here today who are in rebellion against God because of the way we gossip against other people and the way we slander other people and the way we speak bad of other people when the Bible says, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth." And there are some of us here today who are believers who are in rebellion against God because of the way we harshly judge other people and the way we hold malice towards other people when the Bible says, as much as it lies with you, Romans 12, be at peace with all men. And there are some of us here today as believers who are in rebellion against God because we have unclean mouths and we have dirty minds. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 4, let our speech be seasoned with salt. And yet some of the dirtiest stuff comes out of our mouth, dirty jokes, lewd comments. And there are some of us here in rebellion against God because of our prayerlessness and our backsliddenness and our spiritual laziness and lethargy and our hard, cold, cynical hearts towards the Lord. And there are some of us here in rebellion against God because we've been unfaithful to our marriage partners and we've even walked out on our marriage partners and on our children. And I could keep going, but these are just some of the ways that as believers, we can be in rebellion against God. And Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14 said to the Israelites, they pleaded with them when the Israelites refused to go in the promised land. They said, only do not rebel against the Lord. We're begging you. And folks, I'm here as your pastor today, begging you with those same words. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Now look here. I got some good news for you. You say, well, whew, it's about time. Nah, I got some great news for you. Listen, friends, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how far you've fallen. Listen to me. God is ready to make a new start with you if you are ready to make a new start with God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God is ready for a new start if you are. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. But we have to repent. We have to admit we've been wrong and disobedient and rebellious. We have to say, oh God, I'm willing to make a U-turn from my behavior and from my lifestyle. And I'm willing to make that new start with you. And friends, I urge you to do that. Because remember, God's patience with rebellion is frighteningly limited. Don't push him. Don't push him. I urge you. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you to take a moment. And if the Holy Spirit has put his finger on some area of your life where there is habitual and constant rebellion against God, then I want to call on you to repent right now, to make a U-turn, 180-degree turn, and come back to God. Remember what we said, God is willing to make a new start if you're willing to. I'm not talking about just the daily sin we all do. I'm talking about repentance when we're doing something that is a lifestyle sin. So you take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, please forgive us. Every one of us rebels against you every day. I do. But then there are those areas, Lord Jesus, where we do it constantly, habitually, where we've hardened our hearts. We know what you want. We just don't want to do it. Oh, Jesus, convict us today that we need to repent and seek a lifestyle of obedience to God, not rebellion against God. Lord, change and speak to our hearts because we sat under the teaching of your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.